From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
The rainbow waves up high.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and I start by saying we all know that the truth will set you free. The question is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? And that's the premise of the show, Tell the Truth Faster. I'm a licensed psychotherapist or marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles. And every week we deal with issues relating to mental health from a more holistic perspective, body, mind, and spirit. In order to achieve a greater balance in our lives, a greater sense of consciousness between how those three parts of us function and communicate with one another and express themselves in our lives, and the goal being to do that in a more empowered way, a way that brings peace and balance to us. Tonight, my topic is manipulation, how it plays out in politics, religion, and relationships. Manipulation. It's a very charged word, I know that, and I invite any of you that are already charged on this word to call in tonight. I don't have a guest on this evening, so either you're going to hear me speaking for most of the show or call in and participate. The number, if you live in the Phoenix area locally, is 480-874-1311. That's 480-874-1311. If you're listening via the internet, the toll-free number is 1-888-437-7660. That's 1-888-437-7660. Many of you know, and I mentioned that I'm a therapist in Los Angeles. So one of the reasons that I think I'm doing this topic tonight is because of what's going on in California with this ridiculous recall election. People try to manipulate relationships. People try and often succeed. People try within the religious context to manipulate individuals and groups and denominations. And in politics, people are constantly trying to manipulate. And manipulation to some people means lying. And yet there are healthy forms of manipulation, which I will get into. The word manipulation, according to Webster's second definition, the verb manipulate, to manage or control artfully or by shrewd use of influence, often in an unfair or fraudulent way. I'll read that again. This is Webster's second definition of the word manipulate. To manage or control artfully or by shrewd use of influence, often in an unfair or fraudulent way. Now, there's other forms of manipulation to change, to manage or utilize skillfully, to control or play upon artful, unfair, or insidious means, especially to one's own advantage. These are just other definitions I've gotten from other locations. Mostly the word manipulate has a negative connotation, and that's what these definitions, even in Webster's Dictionary, seems to impart more about the negative issues of manipulation. Usually there's an ulterior motive, a hidden agenda, something that people don't know about, and it's being done usually in an insidious way and, you know, a way where people are not going to question. And yet there are positive and helpful forms of manipulation, like if you know somebody that you might be able to help, and you call them and say, come to this party I'm having tonight. There's going to be some people there that I think would be important for you to meet, and I might be able to help with this project you're doing. In a sense, that's a form of manipulation. You're inviting people to come together where you do have an agenda. You're hoping that bringing these people together is going to manipulate something that will have a positive outcome, where you're bringing people together with like ideas, or a person with an idea or a project and someone else with the money. That's a form of manipulation, but the intention and the integrity of it, I think, is intact, and you're being open about it. So that is just one of probably many examples of how manipulation can be used in a constructive way and above board. But now we're looking at the more dysfunctional forms of manipulation. And the first thing that I could think of right now is this California recall. And if you remember, or if you're on top of it, I don't know how anyone anywhere in the world can't be listening to the news and not hear about it in some way, shape, or form. The impetus for this came from Daryl Issa, who is a congressman from a conservative area in Orange County, and it appeared that he put up a couple of million dollars to get the signatures to get this recall implemented and to get himself on the ballot. And I don't think he was expecting as many contenders jumping on board for this, especially some powerful ones. I had a feeling he just figured, well, I have the visibility, I put up the money for this, things are going to go, and I'll probably get the recall and my name will get the most votes, because it won't take that many to elect the new governor if the recall against Davis is successful. And what happened was, after Schwarzenegger and McClintock, another Republican, and Cruz Bustamante, the Democrat, and Arianna Huffington, and these are the big names, not to mention 130 others who are on the ballot right now, I don't think he was anticipating the response. And in tears, he withdrew from the election, you know, took his name out of it. And my basic feeling is, serves you right. You know, you put up all that with what seemed to be an evident intention, and you get left feeling disappointed because it didn't go the way you thought the manipulation was going to go. That's just one example. And politics is just filled with manipulation. I mean, if you want to look at, you know, I believe in giving equal time. I mean, look what Clinton did in his presidency with the lies about the Monica Lewinsky thing, sex, not sex, all this other stuff. He was manipulating the system when all he had to do was tell the truth and help everybody get past this faster, but his fear and embarrassment and sense of humiliation, shame, all that stuff played in the part of how the system was manipulated by his lack of integrity and lack of telling the truth. Now, you take a look at what Bush has done and how many people feel that there was information withheld or outright lies in order to get Iraq invaded. So no matter what your political stance is, I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican, independent or whatever, politics is ripe with manipulation. People talk about what they want to talk about in order to prove their point. The TV ads that political parties run, I mean, look at them. They are so one-sided. None of them, of course, they're being paid for by a particular candidate. They want to put that candidate in a positive light, or their opponent in a negative light. And a lot of these TV ads are short sound bites that give you something to question, but you hear it often enough that most of us, I hate to say that, and most American voters don't question. They hear these sound bites and they buy into it, and they hear them often enough, and they believe it's true because they're hearing it often enough instead of really questioning. So our whole political system is ripe with manipulation and based on manipulation in order for people to get themselves elected, or in order to get recalls, or in order to get bills passed, or in order to look good or to avoid looking bad. All of us can look in the newspaper every day and see how that. Now that gets us then to media. Media is a big part of manipulation. And the way articles are written, the way the headlines are stated, whether it is in print, whether it's on the internet, whether it's on television or radio. How many of you have been hooked into staying up late to watch a news story because the hook about the news coming on at, say, at 10 o'clock and you're being told that, you know, stay tuned at 11 for this major story breaking about such and such. And it's enough to manipulate you to stay up later to watch it when all it is a little fluff piece. And we're going to take a break right now so that we can get some sponsors' words here. And so stay tuned. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster, and we'll be right back talking about manipulation. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight's topic is manipulation. And if you feel manipulated enough by what I'm talking about then to call in, then please do. The local number in the Phoenix area is 480-874-1311, and the toll-free number, if you're listening via the Internet and outside the Phoenix area, is 1-888-437-7660, 888-437-7660. I was talking about the media and how the media can tend to manipulate, and talking about how simple things like headlines will get you to buy a newspaper or get you to stay up later to watch the 11 o'clock news or to stay on a particular station in order to see what this big event they're talking about later is about. And you know, very often it's not anywhere near what they are hyping, but they want you to stay on their station. They want you to listen through the commercials, and they want you to listen to their news broadcast. So, you know, the media is notorious for manipulating, and, you know, part of it they'll say, well, we only have a few minutes to get a whole report out and a whole story out, and, you know, it's still about having integrity enough to present both sides of an issue or to know when you're omitting certain pieces of information or to know whether certain words that you keep using to label a person or a group, how labeling can be used over and over again to positive or negatively tag you know, a person or a group, so that you keep hearing it often enough, you don't even question it anymore. Like I said earlier, you just start associating the negative or the positive that the media keeps trying to put out there based on the few words that you may hear about something. And sliding of content, in other words, emphasis to style and process without enough substance and content in a story is another way. And they know that while certain newspapers may have a certain slant, a newspaper is more likely to get more information into it than a radio or television news commentator, only because of the time. But in our day and age, unfortunately, most people don't take the time to read the newspaper. I read the paper every day, and even if I am away, they accumulate, and I try and catch up on the ones that I've missed, only because I know there's a lot more material I'm going to get in the newspaper I'm not going to get watching the news on radio, listening to the radio or watching television. And the other thing I've said on the phone many times is there's so much negativity going on the TV that I highly recommend and that people stay away from the 11 o'clock news, because it's not the greatest thing to be listening to before going to bed. And people somehow think they're going to get more information on something that they didn't get at 6 or at noon or in the morning to start out their day. And chances are, unless there's a major event happening, the news you're getting at 11 o'clock is almost the same as you got at 6, at 7, at 8, at 9. And give yourself a break before bedtime. I really recommend that. It's very rare anymore, I think since 9/11, that I've listened to the 11 o'clock news. So the media, we could go on and on with the media, and I know, what I'm talking about tonight is not necessarily true if you're more from the right or more from the left. People who are more liberal will say that there's so much media out there that manipulates to their to the right's advantage, and people on the right will say that the media manipulates to the left's advantage, and nobody's truly happy with anything unless it happens to be a very conservative commentator or a very liberal commentator and their own following. So that's the media. The media. Now, all of you who've ever worked for another company can see how manipulation plays out in the workplace, and can see how, in a sense, the politics, people will manipulate to get ahead above someone else. People will even go so far as to tell lies about somebody else in order to be considered for promotion above someone else. They will manipulate to get themselves out of trouble, maybe by blaming someone else or that they were sick, and using sympathy as a ploy. There are a lot of different forms of manipulation that can go on in the workplace, and many of us have either perpetrated it or have been victims of it, but we see it all the time, again, in movies and in stories and in friends that we know have been the victims of it. Or we've heard someone saying, well, I did this to get ahead in work and stuff, and yet we know that there was something very dark and negative about it, and yet we won't speak up and make a statement about it and call them on it. So, again, if that's true, in a sense, we're participating in it. And, that's just our own personal thing. If that's the level of integrity we're going to have, or if we're just afraid that they may do it to us, so we keep our mouths shut. So, there is an article that I got off of InnerSelf.com called Avoiding Manipulation, and the article is written by Jerry Minchinton. And he defines manipulation as getting people to do what you want without giving them something they value in return. I kind of like that. Getting people to do what you want without giving them something they value in return. And he gets on, and he talks a lot about the reasons for manipulation and how people manipulate. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the things he says about why manipulators manipulate, because he really gets to the psychological heart of a lot of this. One is they derive emotional satisfaction from others' negative reactions. Some people, because they're so dissatisfied with themselves and their lives, try to create problems for us so we will feel bad too. If they are able to make us unhappy or uncomfortable, they can focus on our pain instead of their own and momentarily feel better. The second thing he says as to why people manipulate: manipulating others gives them a feeling of power. People who consider themselves weak and believe they lack power sometimes try to manufacture it by persuading people to do as they wish. When they are successful, they experience a temporary feeling of domination. Unfortunately for them and those with whom they associate, the sensation dissipates quickly and they must continually reinforce it. Another one is they believe they aren't important enough. So if they manipulate, they feel like they have a lack of bargaining chips, and they try to convince us that we should feel guilty or ashamed if we do not do as they ask. And that gives them a sense of greater importance. Another one is they believe certain tasks are beneath them, so they try and manipulate other people to do it for them. mean, if you just look at Tom Sawyer, manipulated his friends to get to whitewash the fence when he didn't want to do it, felt it was beneath him, and was too lazy to do it himself. So, you know, that's a classic fictional example of manipulation that all of us can remember reading and getting a chuckle out of it. But when you're on the recipient end of someone's manipulation, we don't laugh so much. Another reason why people manipulate, according to Jerry Minchinton, is they don't know how to do or get what they want. Some people believe themselves incapable of achieving their goals directly, as mature adults do, so they feel they have no choice but to manipulate us so that we will achieve their goals for them. And the last thing he says is they are sure their manipulation will benefit those manipulated. This, he says, is an idea that is embraced by fanatics of every kind who have deluded themselves into believing they know what's best or right for practically everyone, since they are certain they are gifted with a special insight. They feel gratified if they can manipulate less knowledgeable people, quote unquote, like us, into taking the path they've chosen. And that to me is an important one. This is where you get into cults. It's when you get into extremist political parties. You know, the idea is embraced by fanatics of every kind. They have deluded themselves into believing that they know what's best or right for practically everyone. So, he goes on to say, in fact, most would-be manipulators are not genuinely bad. They are just weak, self-centered, insensitive, inconsiderate, and misguided. They think of those they seek to manipulate as members of a lower order of creature, a less important form of life, whose needs and desires are also less important. To manipulators, other people are less real than they are, somewhat like a clever puppy or a beast of burden, which is to say, a nice enough creature, but one without real existence of its own. So, I like how he outlined it, because it deals a lot more with the psychological impact of manipulation or the psychological motivations for manipulation. And in general, I agree. It's people who feel less empowered and trying to build themselves up, people who want to feel more in control and feel less in control. And often, because of their lack of self-esteem, end up doing a great deal of damage. So we're going to come back in a minute and talk about the benefits of manipulation and how to avoid being manipulated and how this plays out even in cult and religious extremists. So stay tuned. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Tonight's topic is manipulation. And if you want to put your 2 cents in or ask a question about this or any other topic, actually, if you're in the Phoenix area, the number locally is 480-874-1311. And the toll-free line, if you're calling from outside the Phoenix area and listening via the Internet, is 1-888-437-7660. So, I was talking just before the break about Jerry Minchinton's article, Avoiding Manipulation, and talked about why people manipulate, according to Jerry, and that he also mentions that there are benefits of manipulation. And he goes on to say, since manipulators often seem to get what they want, it appears as though manipulation works for them and against those being manipulated. But in fact, no one involved in manipulative transactions gains any real benefit. Appearances to the contrary, manipulation is a game played only by victims. Whether we manipulate or are manipulated, we lose. And interestingly, no matter which end of the manipulative spectrum we're on, we experience the same negative feelings, although not for the same reasons. Those feelings being powerlessness, inadequacy, victimization, anger, and frustration. So, before I end tonight, I'm going to talk about ways of avoiding manipulation, but there's also the issue of, you know, I've talked about politics, I've talked about work. As a therapist, I see manipulation going on constantly in relationships that I'm working in, where people feel manipulated or are manipulated, and usually that's where most arguments stem from. Is someone trying to get something that they think they want and trying to get their partner to do it and not always being upfront and just being direct and saying, this is something I need, telling the truth faster. I would like this. Instead, they play on sympathy, they use anger, intimidation, lying, sympathy, all sorts of things in the context of the relationship, because they think and they've been taught that's the only way they could get what they want. They're not deserving of getting it any other way. And so in counseling, in all relationships, and even in my own relationships, I've seen where I've played that out too, and I don't think there's anyone that could say that they haven't done this in some way, shape, or form in a relationship they have been in or currently are in. And if you're doing that, get honest, tell the truth. See where you're doing the manipulation. Don't just lift the pointer finger and blame your partner and saying, you're manipulating me. See how you're participating in it, how you're doing the manipulation, or allowing the manipulation to take place. And maybe it's just out of fear. Many times, you know, we're caught in this whole, you know, struggle, fundamentalist struggle, you know, whether it's Jewish, whether it's Christian, whether it's Islamic, you know, anybody that's dealing with any sense of extremes in any religious or spiritual belief system maintains and allows it to grow and attracts new disciples, usually through manipulation. There's an article by Ron Hensel called Manipulation, and he writes, and I got this off of geocities.com, and the article is Manipulation, and it's talking about spiritual abuse. And he's talking about how religions, cults, and a religion doesn't have to be a cult in order to manipulate. And we may not see it as manipulation if it's really part of our own belief system. But he talks about a number of things relating to spiritual abuse, especially in the form of manipulation. He says, in a spiritually abusive group, the manipulation begins the moment you set foot in the door. Newcomers are treated differently from those who are already enmeshed in the group. New people receive either more attention or a different kind of attention, which often seems so nice and loving, even wonderful. But the new person does not realize that this level of treatment is special. He or she is frequently led to believe that this is how everyone in the group is treated, and this encourages him or her to have the mistaken expectation that such flattery will continue. He goes on to say, and I'm reading the parts basically that I tend to agree with, although not all of this article do I agree with. When you see people in a religious system being secretive, watch out. People don't hide what is appropriate. They hide what is inappropriate. One reason spiritually abusive families and churches or synagogues are secretive is because they are so image conscious. Another reason for secrecy in a church is that the leadership has a condescending negative view of the laity. This results in conspiracies on the leadership level. They tell themselves people are not mature enough to handle the truth. This is patronizing at best. And that actually he quoted from a book called The Subtle Power of Spiritual Abuse by David Johnson and Jeff Van Vonderen. He also goes on to talk about, again, how many people in the context of a religion, a church, a synagogue, have a hidden agenda, and very often that hidden agenda is the glorification of the leadership. The leadership will invariably deny this, he says. They will always point to God's will or God's glory or God's word or the needs of God's people or some other lofty spiritual goal as being the true object of their ministry. Now, before I go any further, I'm not saying that every minister, rabbi, or head of any denomination, that everyone is out of integrity. But all of us can see experiences we've had in our own houses of worship, or have read about or seen, or have had friends that have come to us with statements like this, and can see how those leaders that have really been for the glorification of their own leadership as opposed to truly the spiritual well-being and the inner peace of the people that they're leading, we've seen this in those that have really fallen from grace, so to speak, and fallen hard, or others that have had to come back and apologize for statements that were made that they saw or that they were criticized were very condescending or divisive or exploitative and explosive in our society. So very often you're going to see this in your own places of worship, and very often you'll see this but won't question it. Why? Because we're taught not to question it. If this is about manipulation and power, anytime you question any of the leaders in a particular denomination, the only answer you get is, I'm the messenger of God, and this is what God's instructing me to tell you, or, you know, this is the word of God, or this is what the Bible says, and it's their interpretation of it, and, you know, everything is black or white thinking. And either you agree with them or you don't agree with them. If you don't agree with them, you're a sinner. So then there's the added thing of guilt, shame, sinner, outcast. And again, all of this pressure is put on people as a way of keeping them from questioning, when I believe that a healthy spiritual path is one where you are constantly questioning the integrity of how you're living and how you treat other people and how you're treated by other people. So I know there are plenty of you out there that will disagree, but I mean, that's the way I've seen it and experienced it in so many situations. One of the other things that I like in this article on manipulation is the bait and switch, as he talks about it. And he has a whole list of how that operates. And he said, spiritual abusers bait you with authority and switch it with authoritarianism. They bait you with righteousness or some other form of spiritual accomplishment and switch it with elitism. They bait you with the leading of God's Spirit and switch it with spiritual intimidation. They bait you with spirituality or victory over sin and switch it with legalism. They bait you with unity and switch it with uniformity. They bait you with honesty and switch it with abusive denunciations. They bait you with spiritual discipline and switch it with excessive church discipline. They bait you with transparency and openness and switch it with coercive confession. They bait you with freedom and switch it with a painful exit process. And again, I've had many clients who have dealt with, either as children growing up in certain religious denominations, or got attracted to them as adults or as teenagers, and, you know, had real emotional and psychological issues that grew out of that kind of sense of abandonment that comes when you think you're part of a family, and all of a sudden you see that the family's love for you is not unconditional. We're going to take another break here, and when I come back, we're going to talk about the benefits of manipulation and how to avoid it. So stay tuned. This is Stuart Altschul, and Tell the Truth Faster. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler. Tonight's topic has been manipulation, and we've been covering how manipulation plays out in the political arena, work arena, relationships, media, advertising, as well as spiritual and religious arenas. And I've been talking a lot about information from Ron Hensel on an article he wrote called Manipulation. And one of the other areas that he talks about is guilt tripping, which I briefly mentioned earlier. Spiritually abusive leaders and groups feed on the guilt of their members. They also continually recycle it and even create it where it did not previously exist. You know, we've all heard things like, we are all guilty, we are all sinners, none of us is without sin. And, you know, this, I don't believe that. I mean, all of us make mistakes. I don't believe that there's a God up there that is waiting to cause us a great deal of punishment. I mean, unless we've really been doing some major things here, we're all good at our core. And to be told constantly we're sinners, and be told constantly, it's just like a child being told constantly he or she is a bad kid. Sooner or later, they're going to believe it. And to raise a child with this belief that this innocent child is already a sinner, this innocent child, you know, is going to hell because they told a lie instead of being taught, you know, how safe it is to speak their own truth, and to reinforce in that child growing up that honesty really is the best policy, but that usually means having parents and teachers and stuff that are not going to beat them down if they disagree with what that child is seeing or believing, but to teach them in a way to open their minds and hearts, to how to treat people with love and respect, even if they're different from them. And this whole world filled with car bombs and threats and political recalls is teaching children that this is not a safe world, that people who are different from you are to be mistrusted, and people who are different from you are to be feared or hated, instead of tapping into the innocence of that young child who doesn't have that fear, who's curious about the differences that he or she sees around them, and that somehow many of the adults around them have lost their own sense of curiosity. I mean, how many of you have really gone out and maybe rented some documentary on what Islam is about and what Muhammad really taught and what the Quran really says, or blindly are believing that all Islamists are fundamentalists who want to kill everybody else on the planet, even if it means totally destroying the planet? And how many of you who have really made an effort to understand what's going on between the difference between Jews and Palestinians in the Middle East, all we're getting in terms of news reports are one's killing the other and the other's killing the other, and it's just back and forth, and unfortunately the children are stuck in the middle, and the people who don't believe that this needs to continue don't have enough power to make the few who are into the violence and fundamentalism to stop, even when they get close to a solution. Even when people are saying, even when the politicians are saying, we're willing to stop the killing, we're willing to give up land, we're willing to work together, it gets close, and then a few people literally blow up the whole process. So, forms of manipulation. I mean, we could talk on and on. I mean, we can do hours of a show on how religions worldwide since the beginning of time have manipulated to do a lot of destruction instead of, you know, really getting back to the basics of what most religions teach, which is love thy neighbor as thyself, even if they think differently, and live together in peace and harmony so that this planet is being cared for. So, getting back to actually Jerry Minchinton's article on avoiding manipulation, he talks about what you might hear frequently in the speech of people who are manipulating or trying to manipulate. You can hear phrases like, you should, you ought to, if I were you, I'd, it's for the best, or I only want what's best for you, or you'll thank me for this later, or what will people say? What will people think? And they'll use phrases like that, and again, that's to create shame or guilt, doubt in terms of your own thought process, to get you to do something their way. They may use these and many other phrases which imply we will suffer a censure or a penalty of some kind if we don't meet the obligation they have chosen for us. So, the benefits of manipulation, we've talked about, actually, and they really are not, I mean, except for the positive ways, like I said earlier, where we're helping somebody out by bringing people together to meet each other for a common goal or a better goal. You know, basically, manipulation is for people who feel less than to feel more powerful. They feel powerless, and by manipulating, they can feel more powerful. They feel inadequate, so they can feel stronger and more useful in the world, even though it's a false sense of adequacy. They feel victimized because life's dealt them unfairly, and so by manipulating others, they can victimize others and feel more powerful. And it's a way that people sometimes express their anger and frustration by manipulating others. So, how can we avoid manipulation? In avoiding manipulation, the author goes on to say, unless we have knowingly obligated ourselves when we're asked to do something that A, we don't want to do, B, isn't our obligation, and C, isn't a genuine need, we can refuse with a clear conscience. We don't have to feel guilty. We don't have to get caught up in elaborate excuses or contrived explanations. When manipulators ask for our help, we just have to say no. Speak your truth. Say no. This will no doubt shock those who are accustomed to our acquiescence, and it will be difficult for us at first if we are in the habit of giving in to unreasonable people. But saying no is an acquired ability, and we will discover that the more we use it, the more proficient we become. And again, that's about telling the truth faster. A lot of us are afraid of abandonment, of being excommunicated from a family, from a religion, from an organization, if we don't agree with everything that is being said to us. What if you question it? What if you say, no, this doesn't feel right to me? If they're going to throw you out, then that rigidity is a place where you don't need to be. Okay? And I know it's scary because sometimes it means, oh my God, I may be alone. I may be isolated. It's very seductive to be a part of something bigger than you and to feel the energy of that group. It's very seductive. But if you really get in touch with what is totally seductive, and that is the inner peace you feel when you're coming from integrity, when you're not doing things that are really not part of your ethics and belief system, when you're doing things that care about other people, not just your own group, but all other people on this planet, not just your own group, but everyone. So these are all things that is important to consider, to learn to cooperate more, to learn to realize we're all part of a bigger picture. And I challenge all of you to experiment this week and see where you're manipulated and where you are manipulating, and see what you can do to change it. See what you can do to say no. This is Stuart Altshuler thanking you for tuning in. Be with me again next week. This is Tell the Truth Faster, and have a good week.
Up high. That I heard of love.